Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Don't wait one more minute, because we still have one of the biggest discounts live right now that we ever run on the Gen Health platform.
I know. It gets you 57% off of the year membership, which normally, if you go into the monthly, it's $24.99 a month, which is $300 for the year. And we're giving you a 57% discount on that. So it's $129.99. And moving forward, you're now going to have that $129 locked in. It's just, it's a great way, because you have 11 different plans, each with different phases. So you're not just paying for one plan. You're paying for all of them in this platform, plus live webinars. You can watch that back, the recordings of other webinars. You can save your favorite videos and put them into folders. So much you can do on this
platform. Yeah, we have a feature where you can just go and search and find videos of any type, whether they're some of Jen's most popular Instagram videos or any of the workouts. They're all searchable, so you can search for exactly what you want and find it. And like she said, 11 plans that have multiple phases. Like, if you did every single plan back to back and every single phase, you'd be doing them for multiple years.
Yeah.
And then you could go back and start them over again.
Exactly, which I do sometimes.
Your body would need a reminder. Yeah, Jen has done the full body low impact plan multiple times, and this platform works for us. It keeps us moving, so we know that it would be a great way to continue to work on the restrictions, to work on your body, and learn more about your body and how you can move more functionally in the world.
So check out that link below. It is just going to be gen.health/free trial. You don't need to enter any code. The 57% discount is already applied to the year. So go check that out. Start your free week and get in now.
Diving into our next interview, we are going to be talking relationships with Lauren Zoller, who's a 7-figure entrepreneur, host of the Aligned podcast, speaker, and author. As the founder of the Aligned Love Experience, Lauren is an expert practitioner in reparenting, generational healing, and somatic experiencing. Through her work, she has created the proprietary voice activation method that has been used to help thousands of men and women heal from past trauma and take ownership of their future. She is a certified dating and relationship coach, and her insights have been featured on The Drew Barrymore Show, The New York Post, Business Insider, Medium, NBC News, Goalcast, Shape Magazine, and other international media outlets. Lauren is a featured contributor for Ask Us Beauty, a unique magazine and membership platform that redefines beauty by helping women choose what beauty means to them both inside and out. She often speaks on topics such as embodiment, attachment theory, somatic experiencing, and leadership. Her business endeavors are dedicated to helping build schools for underprivileged children in Honduras with the Boundless Foundation, a philanthropic organization whose mission is to end generational cycles of scarcity and poverty. Get ready for this interview, because it's really going to help dive into somatic experiencing and how that can help you develop your best relationship or foster the best relationship with your partner. Lauren, thanks so much for coming on and spending some time with us today, really to talk relationships, to talk somatic healing. And this isn't a topic that we really dive into in depth in many of our podcasts previously. So I'm excited to pick your brain a little bit about this one.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. This is my favorite thing to talk about.
Well, first of all, let's break down, like, what is somatic therapy, and is that different? I know you have somatic experiencing here. So what is the difference, and can you like kind of define them?
Yeah. So somatic experiencing and somatic therapy are pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
But it is looking at the way that trauma is stored in the body through a whole body approach, and really understanding what are the survival responses that our body goes into when we're relating either with ourselves or with someone else that are stuck? What is that energy that was a result of some sort of traumatic event that was too fast, too much, or too soon for the nervous system to properly regulate? How is that stuck in our system? And how can we use somatic tools to regulate those dysregulated responses so that we can actually relate from a secure place?
So give us an example of, like, what do you mean by somatic tool that can help start to, you know, break into our body and our nervous system a little bit to soften up some of these traumas we might be storing?
Yeah. So we can all practice different somatic tools on a daily basis. Yoga is a great somatic practice. Breath work is a wonderful somatic practice. Bilateral stimulation, which is just taking one hand to the opposite side of the body and just squeezing to wake up the different quadrants of the body, is a somatic tool. Any sort of movement, creativity, humming, anything that really activates the body on a cellular level can be really powerful when we're trying to regulate the nervous system. However, if we have some sort of stuck response that we can't seem to regulate on our own, that is why seeing a somatic experiencing practitioner or a somatic therapist can be extremely helpful, because we are trained to read your nervous system and to see, okay, what response are you in? Are you in fight? Are you in flight? Are you in freeze? Are you in fawn? And how can we create a safe container for you to properly renegotiate that survival response inside of your body? So there's things that you can do on your own for sure. And it's also really helpful to work with someone if you feel like you are just stuck in a trigger and you cannot get out of it. It just keeps repeating in your life.
Hmm. And how would we know that something might feel stuck, or we might need to work through something? Like, a lot of times I think, you know, we, especially normally, it's like you go through something, you go through a breakup, which might have felt traumatizing to you, but to the outside world, it's just like, oh, it's going to be fine. You know, you move on, someone else will come along, and you just kind of have to go through life. So how do you start to identify that something might have been a trauma, or something might still be stuck,
or affecting your current behaviors even?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you a couple of examples. One of what I see in relationships often, and then what I see in the dating world specifically too. In the dating world, a great way to look at this is I work with a lot of women who have been perpetually single, and they keep attracting the same type of person over and over and over again. And an example of this would be, we all know men and women who ghost us, right? Yeah. We start talking to them, they love bomb, and the next thing you know, they are gone. And we start to feel like we're the culprit. If this pattern shows up repeatedly, what that's actually showing us is that somewhere deep within our somatic self, there is a trauma response. Because I always believe that in relationships, we are a mirror of the person that we are in relationship with. And what we know about ghosting is that truly it's someone's inability to sit with big emotions. So they run away from them. They ghost, because it's easier to just run away than to have to tell you how they actually feel. Whether that's, hey, I'm not interested in this relationship anymore, or, hey, I actually really like you and I don't know what to do with these big feelings. So they end up running away. Well, in this work that I've done, what I noticed is that if we really get clear on looking at the past patterns that this person who's having this repeated pattern show up in their life, if we get really clear on what their relationship was with a primary caregiver, we see that at a very young age, they were taught to run away from big emotions. And so when we start to get curious about that, it actually has a response in the body. Whenever they start to feel a big emotion, they usually bypass it. They go do something else, or they feel uncomfortable sitting with that emotion, or they become quote unquote busy, right? Busybodies. And so having that awareness of saying, oh, wait a second. This is the response. When emotions get really big, my heart rate starts to flutter. I feel this pit in my stomach. I feel like I kind of want to run away from things. That is a trauma response. And if we can be with that response and we can allow it to naturally deactivate and renegotiate in the body, then we can start to attract differently, because we're no longer going to be in that state of dysregulation. So that's how it shows up in the dating world. Sometimes there's a ton of other examples I could give. Mm-hmm. In partnership, when a great example of this would be, let's say every night you get upset because the dishes aren't put in the dishwasher. And you notice yourself not yelling, but berating your significant other because something wasn't done. And if this happens day in and day out, you may want to start to get curious. Okay, wait a second. when I see the dishes, what is the reaction that happens inside of my body? Is this a reaction of peace and safety? Or is there something coming up that's exhibiting anger? Why am I so angry about the dishes not being put in the dishwasher? And you can start to play with those responses and say, okay, how can I regulate this? How can I be with this in my system and renegotiate it to where I can actually come from a place of safety with my partner and say, hey, you know what? It really bothers me that the dishes aren't put away when I ask you to put them away. And I'm open to redefining this safety in our relationship. So it's really just getting curious about how your body responds without going into story in your brain.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's funny you bring this up because, you know, I see a therapist and we almost use this as an example, like we call it the dish example, where generally if you find yourself getting that upset about a dish sitting in the sink or a dish not being put away, like it's not about the dish. And so there's this thing me and my therapist say to each other, like, yep, it's not about the dish. Like,
yes.
There's generally something deeper that's going to, you know, be the reason that you are getting so angry or something is welling up inside of you that, yes, the dish may be the trigger, but it's generally not about that specific thing. There's something deeper that you get to explore in there. And I'm wondering, I know that you like to talk about attachment styles and attachment theory, which, you know, when you look into that, a lot of it says your attachment style is developed primarily when you're younger, but can having unresolved trauma or working through trauma help you shift from using primarily one attachment style to another?
Absolutely. I love to talk about attachment theory because I think that there is a preconceived notion that we all are supposed to label ourselves with some sort of attachment label, and that just is what it is for the rest of our life. I can't tell you how many men and women come to me and say, well, I'm anxiously attached, and so XYZ, and it becomes a justification for why they act a certain way. And what I really work with in my practice is I preach, we can all find secure attachment. We can all find it, and we can all work our way towards secure attachment. In fact, we all should be working towards secure attachment. And when we have anxious attachment in the body, and we also have avoidant attachment in the body, what that means is that there is some sort of trauma response happening that is keeping us from being able to deeply connect. And I think what's really important to go, not to go back too far, but when we were talking about the dishes, you spoke about, you feel, it's never about the dish. You feel something well up inside of your body. What's important there is that you stay with the sensation of what's welling up inside of your body. And traditional therapy doesn't really teach us that. Mm. It teaches us to create a story and to stay in a label around what's happening. We have incredible cognitive awareness. But what it doesn't teach us to do is to be with the sensation that's welling up inside of the body. And that is truly where somatic experiencing and somatic therapy can shift trauma and actually have, it can elicit incredible breakthroughs with people and lead them into security, because you can actually regulate that response when you can go inside of the body and feel that and be with that dysregulated sensation.
And are there tools that we can use right now to start to kind of go into those different sensations? Like, are there yes. at-home things that we can do to start, you know, kind of sitting with it? Like, if I know I'm uncomfortable, if I know I'm in a place that does feel dysregulated, what can I do at home right now, just starting to practice this, that mm-hmm. can, that I can use on my own?
Yes, for sure. So the first thing that I always love to give people as a tool when they start to do somatic work is I truly believe that healing comes in two steps, and really two steps only. The first step is awareness. The second step is choice. We can't actually heal what we don't know is dysregulated.
Yeah.
It's impossible because we don't know. So the first tool that I would suggest is doing what I call a somatic check-in. Now, what the somatic check-in does is it actually gets you used to the language of the nervous system. So when I was just speaking about being in the cognitive brain, mm-hmm. when we think and when we create story, we are in our brain trying to think. When we are working with the nervous system only speaks in sensation and emotion. It doesn't speak in story. So it will feel really foreign to you to start to listen to your nervous system if you are a normal human who has been taught to make meaning out of everything. So with the somatic check-in, what I suggest doing is set a timer on your phone for morning, noon, and night. Doesn't really matter when it is. And every time the timer goes off, take a moment and I want you to just check in with what sensations and what emotions are present and jot it down. And then after you do that, write down, what was I doing when the timer went off? And it can take less than a minute. So I'll give you an example. If my timer went off right now and I were to check in with my body and how it was feeling, I would write down, my heart is racing a little bit and there is some tingling in my fingers. And then I would write down what I'm doing. I am being interviewed on a podcast. So what it does is it starts to give us a language for activation in our body. And we start to be able to understand what is healthy activation and also what is unhealthy activation. So it really is the language of the nervous system. And over time, this will help you, because if you recognize that every single time the timer goes off, if you're at work, just sitting there doing computer work, and your heart is about to beat out of your chest, and you have a pit in your stomach, you can recognize, wait a second, this probably isn't right. Every time I'm sitting down and answering emails, I feel this intense activation in my body. Something here isn't right. So that's the first step, is awareness and understanding the difference between, what does it look like to be in fight? What does it look like to be in flight? What does it look like to be in freeze and in fawn? Will also help you. I'm happy to go into those if we want. If not, you can Google it. There's so much information about what sensations are present in those four survival responses. Once you can have that type of awareness, then the second thing that I suggest doing, the second tool, is when you notice that you're in one of these survival responses, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, take a moment to remove yourself from the situation and just slow down. Just sit there and let that sensation renegotiate in your body on your own.
No, I love that. And I really like how much you're bringing in the connection to the nervous system. I mean, Jen and I speak into this a ton when it comes to pain, when it comes to movement, when it comes to our body being able to feel safe in different environments, when it comes to movement and those physical practices, but how much it's connected into these relational practices or developing a relationship or understanding how these past experiences and traumas are now impacting our nervous system present day and in our present day relationship interactions. And one thing that I want to ask you is, so, okay, all of these practices are great and you're aware that you had a trauma in the past that might in some way impact the way you feel in certain relationship situations. So you start dating and these things come up and a trigger happens. How can somebody effectively be able to communicate that with a new future partner in a way that, you know, quote, won't scare them away? Or if you know what I'm saying, like when you go into a new practice and you know you have triggers from the past, like that can be something early in a relationship that if you start communicating too early, will be that thing where the partner says, oh, there's too much baggage here, I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Well, to simply put, if you take your triggers and you take your past trauma and you are speaking to a potential partner about that and it scares them away, they weren't meant for you.
I agree.
Good riddance, right?
Yeah, because it's they're not operating at the same space. And in order to be in full divine partnership, It means that you both have to be able to hold the other person in their entire mess, right? Because we're just human. And to be able to hold someone there is the highest act of being a safe place and the highest act of security, especially if you're doing the work within yourself, because that truly means that they feel uncomfortable holding space for you, which is their own stuff to work through. And they probably haven't done the same amount of healing work that you have.
Well, that was like one of the main things that, you know, when I first met Dom, it was what most people would identify as too soon coming from a traumatic relationship that was very toxic and ended very messy. And I had a lot of triggers and a lot of things that I was healing through. And he, you know, I mean, I was very upfront with it and he held me and saw me through it all, not trying to fix anything, just being a partner. And it was one of the things that was like, oh my gosh, like I could be me, I could be human, I can heal on my own. And someone can just witness me in that state. And, you know, to this day, that's why we're married and have baby on the way. Because, you know, he was able to really see me in that. And that's what I tell other people. But I have other friends, too, that are just so scared because they've been traumatized in the past. And it hasn't, they still haven't met their person or they still haven't felt seen in that way. So how do you continue to go on to the next relationship and feel like I can be vulnerable enough to say my triggers or say my traumas and this person isn't going to leave like everyone else has?
Yeah. So that's where truly the inner work is the most important part of this, because you have to be able to connect to yourself so deeply and know that you are your own source of security and safety before you, and I'm not saying you have to know that before getting into relationship with someone else, but when you do know and you're able to truly deeply connect to your own inherent worthiness, then dating becomes this game where it really does, you have so much patience. Because you know that you are the source of your own fulfillment. And really, when you land in that place, and this is why nervous system work is so crucial, because what we do is we clear out the trauma that's actually keeping you from being able to honor your own safety and your own worth. When you can get to that place, you feel so grounded that you have, in a lot of ways, infinite patience. Because you know that you're the source of your own happiness. You're the source of your own completion. You're the source of your own worthiness. And when you truly drop into that place, you become a magnet for someone else who is also. So if you're feeling that really deep anxiety and frustration about the dating world, it's because probably there's a trauma response that's in there saying, I need to find someone because I feel incomplete. Or I don't trust myself, or I don't trust the process of dating, or I am unlovable, whatever the story is, the actual trauma response is coming forward that's saying this isn't possible for me. And that's where you need to get curious and start to do some regulation work, because truly when you find and you're able to access what we call ventral vagal connection in somatic work, there's this deep fulfillment that you are the source. You have everything that you need. And so a partner coming in is just an addition to your life. They don't complete you. And that truly is where I think it's hard in the dating world, because we don't really identify that as a trauma response.
No, I think that's very important for people to hear. And again, I really love how you're approaching these answers to some of these questions that normally are very scary for people. And I think that, again, this process of understanding, okay, if somebody can't handle me doing my inner work, then they're not the one. Or even if I've gotten, you know, tried and not found my partner half a dozen times, like I get to keep going because I am my own sense of fulfillment. I am complete. It sounds great. It can just be very, very difficult for people to put into practice, right? You know, and I think that's what is tough to understand is the amount of inner work that it can take sometimes. So when somebody does go through something traumatic or goes through a really difficult breakup, how do they know when they're ready? How do they know they've done the work to be ready to dive back into the dating world again?
I always say that when you can think about dating, or when you can go to take an action that will put you back into the dating world, if you can recognize that your body feels a sense of safety when you do it, so you feel calm, you feel at peace, you feel like you can socially interact properly. When you can feel that and you know that in your body, then get back into the dating world. But yeah. If you feel like you need to run to the dating apps and you need to swipe incessantly and you need to try to go on as many dates as possible and you need to worry about where you're going to meet somebody and telling all of your friends that you're single, when you're in this state of activation, because that's very much a flight response, your body isn't ready. You're not ready. Your nervous system is still saying, I'm trying to fill a void right now and I need to go do it. I often see with people that go through a traumatic situation on the other side, it's almost like they need to fill that void and they need to fill it quickly. And there's this feeling of frantic energy, and you can see it in their body when they're trying to date. So I would suggest, if you're really asking yourself, am I ready? Like, am I ready to get out there? If you feel a sense of peace, and if you feel a sense of I'm at home in my body, because your body will tell you everything, then get back out there and start dating. But if it's coming from a place of needing someone else to fill that void, then there may be a little bit of a deeper level of healing that you may need to get curious about.
And can you do that healing in partnership, or do you recommend, you know, first working with someone and really identifying that deeper within you before starting to date?
You can absolutely do it in partnership. You can 100% do it in partnership. If you are currently in a partnership with someone else, having that open conversation with your partner that it's happening is so crucial. But what I have noticed is that it is difficult to be in the dating world and you either do it in partnership or you do it solo. It never really happens in the dating phase, because the relational dynamics and you being able to respond from trauma versus security can lead to a whole slew of really awful things that you don't want to call into your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like?
To do it in partnership?
Yeah.
So it depends. I mean, I work with individuals one-on-one. So I would suggest, if you were coming into my practice, that it would look, I have a 3-step process that I take every single client through. And it doesn't matter if they are single or if they are in a relationship. The first thing that we do is we go back through your past relationships, what I call your core stories of limitation, which are your big T and little T trauma moments, your childhood dynamics and your generational dynamics, to get to the root of your dysregulated nervous system responses and your negative cognitive beliefs. So we're playing discovery in the first month together, where we're really looking at, okay, let's look at Jen or Dom's body. What triggers where are they coming from? And where's the root of them? Was this something that you picked up in childhood? Was it something that was generational? Did it happen in response to some sort of traumatic event? That's the first step. And then the second step is that we start to look at, okay, now that we understand these dysregulated responses, we know your survival patterns, how can we start to renegotiate that trauma in your body through somatic experiencing? So you'll be working with me or one of my team members one-on-one to be able to help you to renegotiate the trauma in your body. And it's a little difficult to explain somatic experiencing unless you've tried it on. But again, it's therapy of the nervous system. It looks very different than traditional talk therapy. And then we start to work at reintegrating you from this new space of security, reintegrating you back into the relationship with your partner. How do you talk to your partner about this work? and the triggers that you've uncovered and some of the trauma work that you're doing. And 10 times out of 10, I really do say 10 times out of 10, your partner gets inspired and your partner starts to dive in to this same work. And next thing you know, you both are having this conscious conversation around not anything story related, but I noticed when this happened that I had this reaction in my body, and you're able to hold each other in that space. And what ends up happening is that your triggers no longer have control over you, and instead you have control over your triggers. And when you get to that point in a relationship, it's so beautiful because you both are just having this conscious dance with each other's nervous systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And again, to point towards an earlier point of yours, if they are truly your partner and meant to be your partner, then they will probably receive it really well and be inspired by it. And to talk deeper into partnership a little bit, I've seen some content that you put out on your Instagram page, which I think is great, by the way, and everyone can go and find you at Lauren Zoller. We'll have that linked up down below. But how do you know if it's worth or if you should give somebody a second chance versus if that is just them waving that red flag in your face incessantly, regardless of what it was, whether it's infidelity, some other trauma, addiction, something going on in their life? How do you know if a second chance is worth giving a try?
Yeah, great question. So if there has been proof of healing, then a second chance is warranted. Now, a second chance without healing is just a repeated pattern. So when you're discussing with the person who's coming back into your life saying, hey, I want to give this a second chance, I want to try this again, that is where you get to start asking questions. You get to get really curious about how much healing work have you done? And it's not just the other person, right? Both of you, it takes healing on both sides in order for a second chance to actually work out. Because if you think about it, if there was no growth that happened in the rupture and nobody took responsibility, like radical responsibility is so huge. You have to take, regardless of how traumatic something was in a relational dynamic, there's always responsibility on both sides. Because as I just said, when we're in relationship, we are a mirror. We truly are a mirror. And so if that responsibility hasn't been taken and there hasn't been growth on both sides, it's just going to be a repeated pattern. And I see it all the time. When couples get back together where there hasn't been growth, it ends up ending the exact same way. It's like a broken record.
And I know that people, like, to be able to do the work with you deeper, you know, you created something called the Aligned Love Experience. And I'd love for you to identify, like, or help us to understand what that is, what people would get if they really went through this, and why it would be so impactful.
Yeah. So it's centered around that three-step process that I just spoke about when clients come to me. So we have a three-phase process that you go through. And truly what the program is designed to do is to help you heal the core wounds, the dysregulated nervous system patterns that are keeping you from being able to find and relate securely in relationship. And when we say relationship, we don't just mean romantic relationships. We mean relationships in general, your relationship to self, your relationship to friends, to your health, to, again, your romantic relationship, because how we do one thing is how we do everything. So the Aligned Love Collective is a 3-month program where you're going through those three steps. So we're doing a lot of work in discovering your dysregulated patterns in the first month. Second month, we are doing somatic experiencing to heal those dysregulated patterns. And the third month, if you're single, we're helping you reintegrate back into the dating world with this new state of being, because safety and security is going to be your primary frequency that you're hanging out in. And if you're in relationship, we give you support on how to reintegrate back into and have these harder conversations with your significant other. Mm. So that happens over a 3-month period. And there's a ton of information in the portal with workbooks and videos. but you also have a coach that is alongside you that you meet with every single week for 12 weeks.
Mm, that sounds fantastic. And it sounds like a great way for people really to start to dive in. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on, being with us today. Help us to dive a little deeper into relationships, to dive into somatic experiencing and how people can really start to explore that in their own homes today. Where else could people go to find you, learn more from you, or decide to dive into one of your programs?
Yeah, well, thank you all so much for having me. And if you want to find out more, you can go to laurenzoller.com, or you can follow me on Instagram at laurenzoller or on TikTok at Coach Lauren Zoller. That's the best place to absorb my information and reach out if you'd like.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Lauren. It's been so eye-opening to really dive into a lot of the somatic stuff, especially when it comes to partnership or relationship to self. So I really appreciate the work that you're doing and hope that people will dive in.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for tuning in on another podcast. We just appreciate you being here. And of course, if you heard something that you think can resonate with someone else in your life, please share this episode. And if you haven't yet, this helps to get us out there so that other people can listen and continue to learn. If you leave a little rating and review, we would just appreciate it so, so much. And of course, if you haven't yet, please subscribe, pass along this podcast to other people you know can benefit and learn from. That's really what we want to do to help get you back inside your body, learning about your body. And next week, we're talking all about SI pain or that sacroiliac pain. So definitely stay tuned.